afternoon, Growth Group leaders. Hello, Jaden.
Hi, Mark. Hello, everyone.
Good to be with you once again. We've concluded our series in why we love Jesus. But we could continue, Jaden, with our questions on redeeming love.
Yep. Could do the fourth one, complete the series.
Some of us like to be complete and like to finish up things and all of that. But the other reality I realised is, we need to get started on Luke. We're back into Luke now. Mm. And at what point will we start looking at the passages ahead of having them preached on Sundays?
Yeah, that's our normal practice, isn't it?
That is our normal practice. And so this would be a really good time to switch back.
Mm-hmm. So, yep.
So what will you do?
Oh, I haven't decided, eh?
Okay.
Maybe Luke, but we'll see.
So I think, Growth Group leaders, what I'd like to propose is that you decide. I'll give you a few questions for redeeming love, and I'll give you a study on Luke 22. Mm. And then, the choices. Over to you. You'll have to decide what you'll do with your group.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's... On that note, I won't go to the redeeming love questions here with you, Jaden, but I will go to Luke 22. Mm. We're returning to finish out Luke's gospel.
Yeah, we'll get to the end around Easter.
We will get to the end on Easter Day. Luke 24, we'll hit it for Resurrection Sunday.
What an amazing coincidence, Mark.
What an amazing plan. Must be the plan of God or just careful planning on our part, Jaden. Mm. So we're doing this week Luke 22, verses 1 to 23, the account of the Last Supper. Jesus in the upper room, preparing and eating the Last Supper with his disciples. And a question that might be a starter is, in a relationship, like who puts in the effort to make sure to keep that relationship going well?
Mm.
What would you say?
Normally it takes both parties, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. We have a good friendship.
Mm.
One friend can't just sort of do everything.
No, the friendship probably wouldn't last.
No. And if things go wrong, actually both parties need to try, you know, to the level that's appropriate and so on, to move back towards each other.
Mm.
Doesn't work that way with God. Mm-hmm. I mean, he formed a relationship with Israel.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, good, let's have it as equals. You relate to me and I'll relate to you. And if you relate well, I'll do well. And if you relate poorly, then things will go poorly.
Mm. But humanity could never do their part.
Humanity failed. The problem wasn't with the promise and the covenant, the old covenant.
Mm.
The problem was found with the people.
Mm. Yeah, Hebrews talks about that.
Yeah, it does. So today we do a new covenant. And that's the big idea that we're pushing in this study.
From verse 20.
The new way to relate to God is through Jesus Christ. That's the idea that these questions will push. And we're picking up that new covenant in my blood line from verse 20. But we want to sort of, these Bible studies are inductive. We kind of start from the passage and move towards that point. So tell us the first question here, Jaden, from verses 1 to 6. Like, what's this question getting at?
Well, you see these insider people. There are chief priests, teachers of the law, and there's even Judas, one of the 12.
Yeah,
they're all conspiring to try and get rid of Jesus. You see them looking for a way to get rid of him. Judas discussing how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted. They agreed. He consented.
Yeah. Why? Why are they trying to get rid of him?
They don't want him.
Why don't they want him?
Oh, big question there.
Well, they fear the people, it says there. The chief priests fear the people. So for them, religion is more about populism, you know, controlling the masses. Mm. Or for Judas, well, he's conspiring to get rid of him for money. Mm. So it's kind of like, well, I'll use this guy because he's not playing ball like I thought he would.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So you got God's insiders and even one of Jesus' 12 rejecting him.
Passover is mentioned heaps of times here. Like, I think we counted 3, 4, 5 times. Passover ends up being a big deal. If you had to do a one-sentence summary, Jaden, for Passover, the significance, the meaning of Passover, like it's when the angel of death came over in Exodus and so on, and sure, but what does it mean?
I'll give a one sentence summary a go. You might do a better job, but God's people were spared. So judgment came and God's people were spared because the lamb was slain.
Yeah. So. He struck them and spared us because we trusted his promise.
Mm.
Exodus 12:27 is a good little one verse summary of it all. But like, what's it getting at? Oh, well, actually, judgment was falling. Who can be spared in the judgment? Those who shelter under the lamb.
Mm. Yeah. So by faith, they slaughtered a lamb. Mm. They were protected. Yeah.
So, like, that's the background to this passage, because Jesus wants to eat this Passover meal, and it's a big deal. Mm. And it's funny, because who's made preparations for whom?
Mm.
Like, what do you think is happening here?
Well, it's a bit of both, eh? Jesus tells them to go make preparations, but it's God's meal that he had prepared, you know...
beforehand.
Yep, from long ago, and it's all sort of just, it comes together, doesn't it?
It does.
Go to this particular place, you'll find this room will be like that. Jesus knows how it's going to be. It's all set up for them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it sort of reads like, prepare the thing that I've prepared you for, that I've already prepared for you. But it is both end, because God has made preparations for his people to walk in. Now, the details of the actual meal, I think the whole passage builds up to this meal by the repetition of Passover and by the preparations, and you think, oh, this is a big meal, this is a big deal. What are some of the I reckon it might be good to break into groups and see how many details you can draw out. Because when Luke records this, he doesn't just say they ate and drank. He gives you details because he wants you to see the meaning of it. Okay, so what's the main meaning?
Yeah.
What are some of the particular details that draw out the meaning, do you think?
I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, verse 15.
So there's anticipation of this particular meal, yeah.
Yep, but also the idea of Jesus' suffering being joined to it.
Yeah, his suffering.
The idea of finding fulfillment that comes up in verse 15, 16, maybe somewhere else too.
Yep, yep.
So it's fulfilling the Passover.
Yep.
He gave thanks, broke the bread. This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. The cup is the new covenant in my blood.
That for me is the key detail.
Yeah.
He hands you this cup. He doesn't just say, drink it. He hands it to you and says, this cup is representative of the new covenant. To pick up that phrase, new covenant, that's massive. That's a Jeremiah phrase. That's what God promised in the prophets. Like, that would make every sort of Bible reader's ears prick up. Wow.
Yeah.
This is the new way to relate to God. And it's coming, like, the cost of it is not the blood of an animal. It's Jesus' own blood.
Yeah, that's an amazing transformation of how we relate to God.
Sure is. Because what does that mean for people who refuse to relate to him? Because Judas and the chief priests and so on, they refuse to relate to him.
Yeah. Well, if the new covenant is in Jesus' blood, receiving Jesus is how we relate to God.
So if you refuse Jesus...
Well, here these verse 1 to 6 people are. They were inside, but they refused Jesus, they refused God.
They're refusing God.
Yeah, so...
For people who do relate to Jesus Christ, what assurances are there that we have... guaranteed relationship with God?
A couple of them. His body broken for you, or his body given for you.
Yeah.
His blood poured out for you.
The little words "for you" end up being really important, don't they?
They do.
I promise this is for you.
Yeah. Are there others, Mark?
Well, I think there are. Like the idea of the this is finds its fulfillment in the kingdom of God. The fruit of the vine, which is for you, is pointing you to the kingdom of God. So to receive these signs of Jesus bringing the new covenant is to receive Jesus, is to receive what Jesus is pointing to, the covenant, the kingdom of God. But especially, I think, just verse 20, this cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you, says, oh, if I want to relate to God, I relate through Jesus Christ,
mm.
and I have the way, the only way yep. to relate to God.
Yep. Promise new covenant, a better way mm. than before.
Yep. Now, that rates, like the last part of the passage raises the question, well, what about when I muck things up?
Mm.
Because we fail in our life with God. We sin against each other. We sometimes even decide to do the thing that I know I shouldn't do against what God says I should do.
Mm.
Does that mean that I'm now out of covenant with God?
That's the point of a new covenant, isn't it? It comes back to that first question of the intro question. In a relationship, who needs to maintain it?
Yeah.
How do we live together in it?
Yeah.
But in this relationship, God's done everything.
God has prepared the way. God has prepared the sacrifice. God has made the covenant.
Yeah.
All you do is receive it.
Mm. Yeah.
And live in it.
Mm. When a covenant's broken, death was in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
But now Jesus has borne that.
Yes.
So we don't need to. We're in a relationship with him and it's secure and we can't fall out of it if we are in Jesus.
Yeah. So fall over we might, but fall out of it we won't because he's holding us.
Mm.
Mind you, if you persistently refuse Jesus Christ, and I'm not talking about today, tomorrow, next week, I'm talking about a lifetime of refusing him, well, then you will be refused by God.
Mm.
You've never been in relationship with him.
Yeah. Yeah, we do need to receive Jesus.
Yeah, we absolutely do. Mm. But then to have him, however our performance in living with Jesus, well, we're in his covenant.
Yeah, secure with God.
Secure. Utterly secure, signed in his blood. Mm. Well, that actually does relate to redeeming love last week. Because if you know his love, you're secure in it. And how does security then play out in life? Mm. That would be another fruitful question to explore, but we'll leave that for another time. It's so lovely to be starting this new series in Luke. We'll be in Luke for the next 6 or 7 weeks. Mm. And I pray it'll be a blessing to us as we walk to the cross and then into our hope with Jesus. How about you say a short prayer for us, Jaden, and then we'll finish up.
Mm. Yeah, Father God, we thank you for this new way of relating to you that's only through Jesus. We thank you that we have security in him, that it doesn't depend on us. Thank you that you have done all that's needed to keep us with you, to hold us and keep us secure. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Growth Group leaders, for your work. One little note about the church suite reporting. Hopefully now you'll receive a little email after each growth group reminding you to log on to your mobile phone app on church suite and then just to do your growth group report that way. I hope that's all straightforward. If it's not, please just send me a quick note and I'll clarify with you. But really helpful to have those reports. Very good. Thanks, Jaden.
Cool. Thanks, Mark.
And go well this week, Growth Group leaders. We'll see you again next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.